Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back to The Junks on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. The show is brought to you by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area, EMP180weightloss.com. Don't forget Jason Sobel, senior golf writer for ESPN.com, will join us at 9 o'clock, and our friend Tariq El-Bashir from NBC Sports Washington on at 9:20 to talk about the Caps playoff series against the Columbus Blue Jackets.
All right, so Lurch, I want to hear this bad beat story, but also want to remind people that after we get into that, we're going to get into the Wizards that we haven't touched on yet. And Scotty Brooks, it was either Friday night or Saturday night, went off, right? To call the team
after the loss
selfish,
to Atlanta?
Yeah, had a whole thing. And we have the audio, we have the comments. We're going to go through some of that, and I think that'll be riveting. Yeah. But what's more important to me is pain that you suffer. That is more entertaining.
I know.
So
you
I want to hear the bad beat story. Now, is this literally a gambling bad beat story?
I hesitated to tell you because I know how much you love it, and I just didn't want to deal with your
just
response.
The glee?
Yeah.
Now, is it a gambling because bad beat or a life bad beat?
Oh, it's gambling.
Oh, okay.
But it
okay.
affects your life.
Right.
I mean, that's
sure.
what it does.
It definitely
does. Gambling affects
your life.
I mean,
it does.
$100, you lose $100, it pisses you off,
yeah,
but it affects your life.
It seeps into your psyche, makes you bitter.
Oh, but wait, if I lose a $100 bet, it affects my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
What day was it?
It was yesterday.
Ooh.
Ooh. Now, was it a golf bet?
So, you know I like to bet on baseball.
Sure.
All right.
Of course.
I like to bet on golf.
Just insert whatever sport or activity here. So I like to bet on blank.
I actually had a bunch of tournament matchup bets yesterday. I did very well in the Masters.
Okay.
And I do round by round, too. I'll do first round matchups. I'll do final round matchups, whatever. But yesterday, so I did well in the Masters. But yesterday, I looked at the lines in baseball, and I really like the Yankees.
Okay.
So I like the Yankees. I didn't think that the Orioles were going to go in there and take 3 out of 4. Didn't they win 3 out of 4 in the series?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I looked at the number, and the Yankees were 2-1 favorites.
Okay.
So I said, okay.
Happy faves.
And Mike Wright's pitching for the Orioles. He's terrible. He's awful. You're better, Cakes.
I'm sized.
And it was cold up there in Yankee Stadium. It was probably
sure.
in the high 30s, low 40s. It was just I thought it was a hard game for them to win.
He's yeah. punching dugout walls.
Right. And so I went into my online account, and I probably had about $2,000 in my online account.
Very nice.
And I placed a bet on the Yankees, laying 2-1.
Okay.
Now, I do random bets, like random dollar bets. I won't just do like $25. I'll do like $27.
Or yeah.
I'll do, you know, 30. It's
How
not
do you
35.
Decide?
I'll just do 39.
It's just kind of weird.
I'm just
that
weird.
Way.
I just get
you
a number
punch
in my
a
head.
Weird number?
I get a number in my head and I just punch it in.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, I'm betting $43 on this game.
Correct.
Yeah.
I do that.
For whatever reason.
So
most people bet 25,
no,
50, 100.
Like, well,
you know what's funny is he'll do $43 on a game, but he has to put $20 exactly in his gas tank.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that is weird about
well, that's because he's a squeaker.
Well, sometimes let's just say my total is at 15, you know, 38, right? I'll put $38 on a bet because if I lose it, I'm at the even 1,500.
Okay.
All right, but that wasn't the case yesterday. I just put a random number.
Yeah.
So I went in and I put $53 on the New York Yankees.
Okay.
Which would have paid me, you know, half of that because we were 2-1.
Sure.
So what was that, 26 something?
Yeah.
Well, when I hit confirm, somehow I had added a zero to the end of the bet. I put $530 on it.
This would tilt me. Now, so hold on. And so somehow you put in a 530 instead of 53.
Somehow I hit the zero on my computer.
And then how many times did you hit confirm?
And I just hit confirm. My daughter was. I had one daughter on my left, one daughter on my right, and they're asking me about the Masters.
Yeah. Right.
Because they're big Rory McIlroy fans.
Yeah, right.
Only because Rory McIlroy's best friend is Niall from One Direction.
Right, right. Hello, I'm Niall. I love right. Rory.
So they're both peppering me with questions. Is it over yet? Can Rory win? How many strokes is he back? They're just peppering me with questions.
Right.
I'm like, oh my God, I'm just trying to place this bet, and I'm just telling them.
Telling
I'm talking to them, and I'm trying to punch
you.
It. And I hit confirm on my site. And then when it comes up, it gives you the recap of your bet. And it said $530 to win $262.
I'm surprised you didn't lay it off immediately.
No!
Did you consider that?
Going back in and just
betting the other way. Like, you know what I mean?
To offset
your action.
I thought about it, but I really liked the bet. I said, oh, I'll probably get screwed somehow, but I really like the bet anyway. Okay. And I'm still up a bunch of money.
That's a serious sweat.
It's kinda, so what happens?
That goes from Yankees, a minor sweat to full on, like, that's a quarter of my account sweat.
Who was the person I texted first?
Valdezzi.
No. I didn't tell him. He doesn't know until now. I text Skippy.
Oh, Skippy. That's true.
I told Skippy what I did because he's done stupid stuff like that in the past, too. So I had $530 up to win 260, let's just say $260.
Okay.
The Yankees score 5 runs in the bottom of the first.
So you're sitting pretty.
I'm watching the game. Mike Wright sucks. He doesn't even get out of the first inning.
Yeah.
Buck comes out, pulls him. It's 5-0 Yankees.
You're counting your money.
Right. Well, I'm not counting my money because...
But you're feeling good.
I'm feeling really good at that point.
So I texted Skippy. I said, I accidentally put $530 on the Yankees, but I'll get bung job somehow. That's just the way my life is.
Right.
Cakes goes to the MGM and wins $2,000. He buys a Bitcoin at $2,000. It goes up to $18,000.
Well, it's down to $6,000. So.
Okay, but you're still up money.
Still up. That's true.
That's just the way my luck is. So it's 5-0. The Orioles start to chip away. It's 5-1. Then it's 5-2. I'm starting to get salty because I'm watching the Masters. I'm just watching the updates on the computer. Sure. So I'm not actually watching the game because I refuse to watch the rest of the game. So then it's 5-4, and I'm like, all right, this is where I get jobbed. And then the Yankees scored 6-4. All right. So the Orioles take the lead 7-6. The Yankees come back, tie it late. They go to extra innings.
Okay.
Now, what time is all this? Is this a day game? I don't even know.
It's a day game. It's 1:05. Okay. Yeah. But they go to 12 innings. All right. And by the
way, let me just say this.
I despise these two people, Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton. I hate them. I hate them, hate them, hate. Hate, hate, hate.
I hate that.
I will never say anything good about Stanton ever again. All right. So, or Judge, by the way.
Did Stanton windmill 5 times in this game?
Yes.
Stanton struck out.
Is it the second time he's done that this year?
Stanton struck out 5 times. He was 0-for-7, struck out 5 times. All right, it's the second time he's done this year.
$350 million player.
Yeah, great. He was really worth it. He can't handle New York already.
Right.
All right, so the Orioles are up 8-7 in the top or bottom of the 12th. They score in the top of the 12th. They go up 8-7. Were you watching this game? Did you watch any of this?
No, I didn't watch it. I was watching Masters.
All right. The Yankees in the bottom of 12th get their first 2 guys on. They get walked.
Okay.
I can't remember what pitcher was in for the Orioles. All right, so I got 2 guys on. Nobody out, and then Brett Gardner's up. Top of the order. Pretty good player.
Right.
All right. He sacrifices. He's trying to move the guys over second, third. Sacrifices to the pitcher. Pitcher throws a bad ball. He gets on an air. So we got bases loaded. Nobody out.
Yeah.
And who's up? Aaron Judge. And who's up after that? Giancarlo Stanton.
Right.
But I just need one run. And, you know, 2 runs would be great. I'd be a big fatty.
Yeah.
Just need one just to get it to the 13th.
Yeah. Just stay alive.
What's Aaron Judge do? A weak chopper back to the pitcher.
Ooh.
Double play.
All right.
Still have a shot. Got Giancarlo Stanton. Hit 1 billion homers last year. Hit 59 home runs, MVP. Whiff.
Right.
So I had bases loaded, bottom of the 12th. The best 2 home run hitters in the game. Nobody out.
Right.
And I couldn't get
they
one run.
They can't hit it past the pitcher.
Now that, my friends, is a bad beat.
That's a pretty bad beat.
Couldn't get a ball past the pitcher.
No, but it was still tied at that point, right?
Not at all. Game over.
The Orioles were up 1.
They were up 1. Okay, right.
That's a bad beat.
Birds are big fatties.
Birds win. I lose $530.
The only thing I would say is Orioles magic right there.
You
could have protected yourself by offsetting the bet. I would have immediately done that to hedge myself. You
make the magic. I mean, if I wasn't comfortable, I could have gone in and just put the rest of my balance up or a lot of it on the Orioles money line.
Right, and that way it's a wash and just, you know, and get out of that situation.
But you're
a deep down a gambler, so you like the sweat.
Do you hate Stanton and Judge more or this song right now?
Oh, I hate Stanton and Judge. I despise Giancarlo Stanton.
Now, if he sucks. If it was only for $53, you wouldn't have cared. That extra zero. The extra zero pummeled you.
I mean, you're up 5-0. I mean, what percentage of games, home teams win games up 5-0? It's got to be 8 out of 10.
B-U-N-G-E-D.
Job, yes. And I knew it. I knew when I texted Skip, I said, dude, this is what I did. I'm going to get bung jobbed on this. Even though they're up 5-0, I'm going to lose. because that's my luck.
I bet you're extra careful placing your bets. From here on out, you're going to make sure.
Well,
you hit
here's
confirm.
The key. You just don't talk to your family when you hit confirm.
That's probably a good policy.
Because I could have looked at the numbers, made sure it was all right, hit confirm. I confirm because I'm thinking about how many strokes Rory's back.
But instead, your daughters are in your ear about Rory lipped another one out.
Yeah, a lot of chirping.
And he's fading down
chirp,
the
chirp,
stretch.
Chirp from both sides. Chirp, 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 chirp.
Could there have been more talk about the potential Rory career grand slam? Though that faded after about the seventh or eighth hole.
Well,
wasn't much talk after that.
You know he was thinking about it, too.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's my bad beat story.
Oh,
and by the way, that does affect my life.
If I lost $500, it would affect my life.
I was salty.
I know when I was playing poker every day and for 8 hours, like a lot.
Right.
Okay. Like I logged over a million hands playing online poker. And I never played for big stakes. But there was a period there where Brett and I were playing these super turbos and we were playing $100, $200 super turbos. He was playing $500.
Killing it at EZB.
But literally,
stacking my
you're basically
chips.
Flipping a coin for $100, $200.
The super turbos.
The
were
super
crazy.
Turbos, I mean, they'd be done in two hands.
Because the blinds would go up basically every 10 seconds.
I mean, the matches would last a minute.
Right,
two
right,
minutes.
Right.
Sugar.
We were playing huge super turbos. And if I lost $400 or $500 or, God forbid, worse in a day, I would be such an ass to the kids,
right.
To my wife.
Just lash out.
I mean, yeah, you just lash out. Your mood daily would be dependent upon how you did gambling. So I get it. Believe me, I get it. That's why the best thing ever happened to me was Black Friday. When online poker became regulated here in the U.S. That was the best thing ever happened to me. But it didn't happen to you.
Oh, man.
Stanton. You still have that sweat.
Stanton, what a waste of money. What a piece of garbage he is.
Right.
10 strikes. He's got 20 strikeouts and 42 at-bats. Think about that.
Is he already bristling under the pressure of playing in New York? Is he lashing out like when they talk to him? Or are you just saying that based
booed.
On performance?
He's basically getting booed every time he steps to the plate.
I'm telling you, it takes a special person that can handle that pressure.
Well, you know what? It is what it is.
That back page stuff. Front page or back page.
He said he didn't want to stay in Miami. Didn't want to do
doesn't want to do the rebuild.
He doesn't want to rebuild. When Jeter said, hey, we'll keep you, but we're going to rebuild. No, don't want that. I want to go somewhere else. Win. I want to win.
Right.
All right, go to New York.
Right.
Strike out 20 times.
Be careful what you wish for.
You suck.
Hey, here's what you have to do. Here's what you should do. You put all the money you lost on the Pens to beat the Flyers in the first round of the playoffs. That's your bet. Make it all back. Put everything in your account on the Pens. You won't do it.
Well, they're going to beat the Flyers.
Well, bet it all.
Bet it all.
Bet it all.
That's how I felt in my account.
Well, you know what? I got to talk to Joe B first.
I think Joe B will mirror my sentiments.
He probably will.
He might.
It's something to think about.
It's something you should consider.
And then if the Caps end up playing the Pens, well, I'm just going to put a boatload of money on the Pens.
Because
I'll be willing to risk whatever I put on them to see the Caps advance.
I like that.
But the Wizards are a different story.
They are a different story.
Because the Wizards are poo.
All right, we're going to talk to Tarek about the Caps at 9:20. We have Jason Sobel, of course, senior golf writer at ESPN.com. He'll talk more about the Masters at 9. But when we come back, let's get into the Scotty Brooks comments from this past weekend where he just trashed the Wizards. Called them selfish. He went off on them. We'll go through those clips and we'll get your take on it at 800-636-1067. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Coming up in just over 30 minutes, your first chance to win Caps Round 1 playoff tickets right here on 106.7 The Fan. Hear the cue to call, be the eighth caller, and you win. You'll be seeing the Caps take on the Columbus Blue Jackets at Capital One Arena during the first round of the playoffs. So keep listening for your chance to win at 7:55.
All right, so I can't remember. When did they play the Hawks? Was it Friday night or Saturday night? I just remember waking up and reading all the comments.
I think it was Saturday night.
I was in Philadelphia. I was running around at my daughter's volleyball tournament. And so I was only reading this from afar.
Right.
And I saw that Scotty went off after the game.
Actually, I was wrong. It was Friday night.
It was Friday night.
Yep.
Do you have the clips? Do you want to preface any of it? Or is this just the whole thing? Or just select clips? What do you have?
It's just clips. So the whole thing's is over 6 minutes long.
That's great.
Well, I mean, it was a post-game presser.
Right.
And so I have the big one kind of queued up right now. Mm-hmm. And then you can hear what he was asked beforehand.
Okay, good. All right, let me hear it. This is Scotty Brooks after the game. Very, very frustrated.
The bad habits that have been emerging a lot.
I guess I should say, because he was talking about the bad habits on offense, a lot of one-on-one ball, not enough passing, and then it kind of reached a crescendo here.
The bad habits that have been emerging the last 8 to 10 years. In the past, how have you gotten teams like this out of that? How difficult is it to get out of this?
Well, it is definitely late in the season for this to be creeping up. But it is. You got to call it like you see it. And we've been talking about it. We haven't been able to execute it. And I got to do a better job of making sure that we do and find the guys that are going to do that. Selfish basketball is no fun to coach. It's no fun to play with. And it's no fun to watch. And we're a selfish basketball team right now. If we're not going to share the basketball, you can't just say John's not here and all of a sudden we're going to be one-on-one players. John's not here. John's here. It doesn't matter. We still got to play the right way. The game tells you to pass it to your open teammate. The game tells you to guard the ball. The game tells you to help your team. And we're not doing that right now. It's an embarrassing.
Now, that's a game. Now, Bradley went off, was 12 for 24 at 32. But who is he pointing the finger at? Remember they had that stretch there where they had over 30 assists, like in every game,
yeah.
Everybody eats,
they had 18
all
in that.
That.
Game.
They only had 18. I see Markieff struggled. He was 1 for 6. Otto, not impressive,
Keith got
4 for 9.
Too. Keith was tossed in that game.
Keith only played 8
just
minutes.
By looking at the box score, I know, is he talking about Kelly Oubre? Is he talking about all the guys? What's he talking about?
He's probably talking about a lot of these guys. Nobody had more than 4 assists. Gortat led them with 4 assists.
Right.
So, man, I was shocked. The Hawks actually beat the Celtics, too. The Hawks went to Washington, beat Washington. All right. And then they went to Boston and beat Boston.
Yeah, I can't explain that because that's a team that should full-on be tanking. Like, they shouldn't even be trying to win games.
Well, I mean, look at the lineups. I mean, look at the lineups they're putting in. I mean, Torian Prince has just been killing everybody.
Yeah.
But they're starting
Dwayne Dedman.
There's Bembry at small forward. I mean, they're starting a bunch of poops. They're trying to tank based on the players. But
Tyler Dorsey couldn't miss in that game. He was red hot.
Yeah, he had a bunch.
But the Wizards are swooning big time. And you can make the argument that some of this might be calculated because, they're trying to avoid the Cavs potentially. Well, it looks like they're going to avoid them because they've lost 8 of 10. They've lost 4 in a row.
Yeah.
8 of their last 10. They've only got 2 wins, dating back to, since they won a couple in a row when they beat the Celtics and the Pacers. They beat the Spurs. And they beat the Hornets.
It's safe to say they are not peaking come playoff time.
Well, JP always likes to say, I'd rather play the Raptors.
Well, it looks like they're going to get their wish.
Yeah, I mean, he wants to play the Raptors. Looks like you're going to get
it. It looks like that's what's going to happen.
I wouldn't want to play the one seed. I don't want to play any of them. You want to play the worst team, but the Raptors are the best right now.
I think he wanted to play, if JP was here, he'd say he probably would prefer to play the Celtics, right? Because Kyrie's out.
Yeah.
And... no Hayward, obviously.
But I kept telling him, you could lose these games and set up a matchup against the Celtics or the Raptors, whatever, but it's all about how you're playing. It's tough to just kind of flip the switch and start playing great basketball. I mean, they're playing awful.
Do you have some other comments from Scotty after the game?
We got to guard and we got to pass and we got to be together, and we're not doing that the last X number of games. Last night was terrific. We got beat by one of the best players ever to play the game, but tonight that wasn't the case.
lot of important things that they have to hear, and hopefully they internalize it and believe it consistently. We do it at times. I know John has been out a half a season, but it doesn't matter. We still got enough to win games. And if we don't play together, we're not going to beat anybody. And I don't ever look at a game and think that we should win because of who's not playing on the other team. Everybody's an NBA player in this league. Everybody's going to compete. Everybody trains to perform every night when they get an opportunity. So it's, to me, it's not an embarrassing loss to losing to Atlanta with their guys out. It's embarrassing that we don't play with the passion that we need to play at. It's time. We've been saying that for a while.
And they've been doing that for a long time against bad teams.
By the way, he was kind of goofing on the Hawks roster there. He said, well, a couple nights ago we got beat by one of the best of the game, but this roster was not.
Right.
And we still lost.
I was going to say, I was going
to
disagree with him when you say, look, everyone's an NBA player.
Yeah.
And what did he say? It's just, you said it's not a shame to lose to the Hawks. Yeah, it's you should be ashamed to lose the Hawks. The Hawks were 7-33.
He's
on the
just
road.
Saying that publicly.
He doesn't want
to trash a team.
He knows.
Believe me, that's why he said it was no shame to lose to the Cavs, because that's what I thought he was referencing.
I thought he was talking about the Hawks.
I thought he was talking about the night before, when they had 34 assists, they played the best player in the game.
Hey, run that back real quick, that last clip. I want to hear what he says. Got to dissect it a little bit.
A lot of important things that they have to hear, and hopefully they internalize it and believe it consistently. We do it at times. I know John has been out a half a season, but it doesn't matter. We still got enough to win games. And if we don't play together, we're not going to beat anybody. And I don't ever look at a game and think that we should win because of who's not playing on the other team. Everybody's an NBA player in this league. Everybody's going to compete. Everybody trains to perform every night when they get an opportunity. So it's, to me, it's not an embarrassing loss to losing to Atlanta with their guys out. It's embarrassing that we don't play with the passion that we need to play at. It's time. We've been saying that for a while.
Yeah, so he was talking about Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
He said it's not embarrassing. It is embarrassing, Coach. It's embarrassing. Look, think about
this.
He's
just saying that publicly.
I get it. There's three teams, this little stretch, this bad stretch that they're in where they've lost 8 of 10, all right? Three of those losses are Atlanta, worst team in the Eastern Conference, Chicago, third worst team in the Eastern Conference,
right,
and the Knicks, fifth worst team in the Eastern Conference. They've lost to those three teams in this stretch.
Where do you have the quote where he talked about losing to the Cavs? Was that in that beginning of that clip where he talked about, we lost to the best player in the game?
Not that clip, but maybe another
one. It was just previous to that.
We just played it.
Yeah.
But, man, it's – so you got two games left. You got the Celtics and the Magic, correct?
Yeah.
Yes, the Celtics at home, and then they're at the Magic to close out the regular season.
Now, that Magic game might not mean anything if they can't move up to the 7. So, maybe the Celtics game is huge because they have a shot at getting back to the 7.
Cakes, I can only be honest. I'm off both these teams.
You're out on both the Wiz and the Caps?
I am
You're not going to pay attention to the playoff runs?
No, I'm just not getting emotionally involved in either one of these teams because it's just gonna break your heart. This is such a setup. There's no reason to be emotionally invested in the Wizards.
You shouldn't care
That's
about the
just
Wizards.
Stupid.
You shouldn't expect anything from the Wizards.
That's just stupid to get emotionally involved in this team.
I mean, right now they're a bad basketball team.
The Caps, they're just, God love them.
I think you can get excited about them.
Maybe if they get a couple wins here, get some mojo going. But that's just the inevitable second-round matchup with the Penguins
while
is looming.
They're still playing. I've gotten to the point now, I just enjoy while they're still alive, and I'm going to ride it to the end. Yeah. Whenever that end might be, I'm going to ride it
better
in
man
the ground.
Than me. You're a better man than me because I can't get excited about them.
So if you have any thoughts on the Wiz and how bad they're playing, and who do you want them to play? You want them to play Toronto? Well, it looks like you might. 800-636-1067.
How embarrassing is it that here we are in the 80th game and the head coach is still talking about taking your opponent seriously? That you can't just get geeked up for LeBron.
Well, it's
crazy.
It tells me that remember how we talked about this team 2 months ago because John was out and they were winning all these games and
we were very optimistic.
We said maybe they're a better team without John. I mean, we were kind of kidding that way, but man, they are really bad now.
They're reeling.
They are.
They're the 8th seed right now in the East.
They think they can turn it on and turn it off. somewhere deep down, they think they could turn it on and turn it off when they need to, and that's just going to come back to haunt them, for sure. Let's go to Kel in Suitland. Kel, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks. How are you, my friend?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Happy Monday,
Kel. Yeah, you
too, man. What's up?
Man, listen, as long as Ernie Grunfeld is the team builder, this is what's going to happen with the Wizards.
You can't blame this on Ernie. You just can't.
Well, Let me say why, EB. Listen, you come into your boss's office and you tell your boss, none of you guys would go to your boss and say, hey, you know what? I don't think I really hit my stride last year. I'm going to do my job for a pay cut. Okay? None of you guys are doing that. Ernie has done that, man. Listen, Terry Leonsis has to put the attention into the Wizards that he's putting into the Caps. That's all it is to it. This guy had opportunity. We need a big man. Seriously. Trade deadline. What did he do? Bring back Ramon Sessions. Why? Why? What was the purpose of that?
Because Wall was hurt. Wall was hurt at the
time.
That
wasn't even a trade deadline thing. That was just they picked up a guy.
They just need some depth.
Yeah. Well, look, these guys, at some point, this group.
I get it.
Won 49 games last year. And, of course, you know, John missed 37, 38, 39, whatever it is, almost half the season. So, I mean, I do understand on some level, but he's been back for a little while now, and they're still swooning.
I understand that. And then you got, right after the statement of everybody is eating, Bradley Beal all of a sudden turns into a turnover machine. Every time this dude comes down the court, the ball is passed to him. Markieff Morris hasn't been the same. I thought he was going to be a goon or an enforcer down there in the paint, and he's getting punked night in and night out. This team is just, I mean, we're watching them. Egos, attitudes, and tempers is what's taking over. This is what Scott Brooks is talking about. All these games, and now this is what you're showing. I'm with you, Kate. I'm more excited about the Caps and what they're doing because those guys look determined to do what needs to be done. Right. The Wizards, I don't know. They're flailing.
Yeah. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it, Cal.
Was a team that a lot of people thought would be, at worst, the fourth best team
right.
in the Eastern Conference. At worst. Maybe some people thought they had a shot of being higher than that. So when you end up eight losing to teams like you're losing to, and let's just say they get bounced early by Toronto, you know.
But you have to give them this. The one thing I will defend them on is that John missed 40 games.
He did. That's true.
So when your best player
could be different, probably would be
40 games. You would assume they would have a better
record. But like you said, he's back.
He's been back for a little bit now.
But will he be ready for the heavy workload that he needs to take on in the playoffs?
I think he will
physically
be.
Well, that's why they're giving him every other game
I think
off.
He will
I hope
be.
He's ready.
Let's go to Andrew Landover. Andrew, what's up?
What's up? Can you hear me?
Yeah, what's up?
Excellent. I'm a huge fan. I have faith in the Wizards. We've beaten Toronto in the playoffs before with less. I feel like our team's a little bit deeper than in the past. However, I think it's a travesty that we didn't pull the trigger on DeAndre Jordan deal at the trade deadline. It was rumored. It was possible. We didn't pull the trigger. That was a travesty because Gortat and Mahini are not the future and they're not the answer now. If we had DeAndre Jordan, I think we could have gone into the finals. But, you know, now I just think we're going to go to the Eastern Conference Finals. Next year, I feel we need to go after Boogie Cousins or trade for DeAndre or just find anybody that's a legit starting center, not a backup who we have.
So hold on. So you think they're going to the Eastern Conference Finals? You think they're going to beat Toronto and Cleveland?
We've beaten Toronto with less.
And all right, well, hold on.
Cleveland, look, it's all depending on if John Wall's back. If John Wall's truly healthy, if he can step it up. I mean, look what he did last year against Boston. I mean, if he can repeat something like that against Cleveland. Boston was pretty strong last year, and now Boston's hurt, depleted. But Cleveland, you know, this is the first time that team's been in the playoffs with the players they have now. So they're kind of, you know, they're kind of still trying to figure things out. We could take advantage of that.
Hey, EB, you need to hang out with Andrew a little bit more. He'll pump you up.
So hold on.
Get you ready.
Now, this guy's saying he thinks they're going to beat Toronto and Cleveland.
Well, he's also Wizards Mark. It's Homer.
It. Think about what he's saying.
I understand what he's saying.
This is a team that's losing to the Knicks, the Bulls, and the Hawks.
I'm
and they're
going to
beat Toronto, and then they're going to beat Cleveland.
Yeah.
I find it hard to believe, but maybe they'll be Toronto and get through. I mean, John looks like he's playing well. They're just resting him, right? In the Cavs game, he played 38 minutes. He had 28 and 14.
Yeah. Didn't play against the Hawks.
Right, they're just resting him. They don't want to, you know.
They don't want to burn him out at this point.
And
I'm sure he's 100%.
They also, you know, they're being a little strategic, I think, with the games they win
right
down the stretch. But it's
just hard to
be optimistic.
I don't want to hear, yeah, we've beaten Toronto before. Those were different seasons. Yep. I don't want to hear
that. Was that 2 years ago?
And I want to hear we've beaten them before. Okay, this is a different team. That's a different team.
Yeah.
You're not playing well. I mean, I can't buy into, yeah, we beat them before, so why can't we beat them again? Well, because it's a totally different season.
Right.
And you've lost four straight.
I just don't understand why when John's not there, they revert back to this weird sort of like selfish playing team. When John wasn't there originally, they played so well together.
Yeah,
something's not right. That doesn't make sense.
If you want to weigh in on the Wiz, 800-636-1067 is the number. Don't forget also at 7:55, your chance to win Caps first round playoff tickets right here on The Fan. Welcome back to the show. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Don't forget your first chance today on The Fan to win Caps playoff tickets is coming up in just about 10 minutes. So keep listening for your chance to win. While we're on the air, we'll do it at 7:55, 8:55, and 9:55.
Yeah. So we wanted to get back into Patrick Reed winning the Masters. We were going to get into the Nats. We'll do that later in the show. We have to talk about the Nats dropping five straight.
But, yeah, but I'm starting to worry about the sweat. I know it's early. Officially worried. I'm worried.
Well, I was going to say, because the sweat bet looks it looks dicey now. I mean, it's still early.
I'm worried.
They've played, what, 11 games?
My curly W stands for worried right
nine
now.
Nine games. They played nine games.
Yes.
Yes. Believe me. When you lose five straight and you got to get to 92 wins, that hurts a little bit.
Hurts a little bit.
But hopefully get on a win streak here soon with Atlanta coming to town. Anyway, we were talking about Patrick Reed, and then, you know, we played the clips of Jim Nance and Nick Faldo. At, you know, with the call at the end when he made the winning putt to win his first major. We talked about how it's kind of difficult to root for Patrick Reed. You know, in the Ryder Cup, I root for him because, you know, I'm rooting for the flag. But individually, in a major, it's hard to root for a guy like Patrick Reed. All right, he's not warm and cuddly. He's never been like that. Very honest person, but he's not warm and cuddly. And most fans were probably rooting for Rory, Spieth, or Ricky yesterday. Maybe even John Rahm. But they probably weren't rooting for Patrick Reed. And if you know anything about Patrick Reed, he had a very tumultuous upbringing with his parents. He went to Augusta State, but he went to University of Georgia first, and he was kicked out of University of Georgia. He had some issues, probably some alcohol issues. He was accused of stealing things.
Right.
So he wasn't well liked.
And by the way, I think it's pretty hard to get kicked out of like an SEC school. I think you have to go to some pretty great lengths. Yeah. For that
well,
to happen,
if you're stealing,
especially if you're a stud athlete.
If you're supposedly stealing from your teammates.
Yeah, well, that'll do it.
That'll do it, right?
Yeah.
But and you're hearing more and more about his family situation, and he doesn't talk to his parents.
Right.
And his wife, Justine, he's got two kids now. Justine is his wife, and he's got a couple of kids, just had his second child not too long ago. But his wife, Justine, is also very negative towards the parents. She does not like the parents. You know, she knows Patrick doesn't like the parents. She goes on Facebook and posts all these things about the parents, talks about his past and how he was verbally and physically abused. Now, the family, especially his sister, Hannah, also fires back on Facebook and says, well, she's just making stuff up.
Right.
He was never physically or verbally abused. She's just making stuff up. She's just money hungry, yada, yada, yada. So it kind of depends on who you believe. But Patrick obviously told Justine some of these stories. In fact, one of the stories was that Patrick's father would get into fist fights with Patrick after tournaments if he didn't play well.
Right.
So they would be in the parking lot getting ready to go home, and he would get in fist fights with him because he didn't play well. You can believe what you want. But Patrick obviously told his wife that. You think he made it up? Probably not.
I wouldn't think.
But he's got a very dicey family situation. In fact, in the 2014 U.S. Open, his parents came to the tournament because they had some tickets through a friend.
Right.
They didn't get tickets through Patrick because he didn't want to talk to him.
Maybe they got him through SeatGeek.
I think it was through a friend. If they were smart, they went to SeatGeek.
Cakes always getting the plug in.
I have to, EB. Yeah. It's part of the gig.
But Patrick and his wife, Justine, had the security escort his parents off the property. Those are his parents.
And that's a pretty big deal.
All right, so
if your parents just tossed.
Weird. There's something to it. You know, you can.
But here's the thing.
There's obviously two sides to every story.
But here's the thing. It's not just the parents, because he had problems at University of Georgia.
I get it.
Even his teammates at Augusta State, by the way, who'd ever heard of Augusta State before?
Never.
Patrick Reed?
I didn't know
they
that
won two
thing.
National championships. That shows you what a talent Patrick Reed is.
Mm-hmm.
They won two national championships after he transferred there. But even his own teammates didn't really trust him and like him. So there are two sides to every story, and I do.
But maybe he was like that because of his upbringing.
Could be. But he obviously had problems pretty much everywhere he went.
Yeah.
Problems with his parents. He had problems at Georgia. He had problems at Augusta State. He's not the most beloved player on tour. You know, kind of keeps to himself. So I know I actually had a hard time rooting for him.
It's hard to root for him.
It's weird.
It's hard to root for him. Like I said, I rooted for him in the Ryder Cup. So that was special, and I was rooting for the team. But
playing
it's hard
for the country.
For individually, it's hard to root for him.
And that's, as a parent, that's basically the worst case scenario, where you have a son, you now have two grandkids, and you basically haven't had contact with them in like 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Worst case scenario. I mean, it just breaks your heart. So I can't even imagine that. He was even asked about it. Shipnuck had the balls. I give him credit. He had the balls to ask him at the presser yesterday how this felt, not being able to share this with family.
Right.
And
that's a tough one, too.
And he just said, yeah, I just want to focus on playing golf and winning golf tournaments.
You know, he's got in his mind that, you know, he just needs his wife and his kids and his friends. And doesn't need his parents.
But,
his parents weren't. They weren't even invited to his wedding.
Right.
They didn't even go to his wedding.
They didn't approve of him getting married.
I know
that
nothing
early.
About his parents. Maybe his parents are donks. Maybe they're just total donks.
On some level, they're donks.
They probably are.
On some level, they're donks, because I could see you kind of warning your son and say, "Hey, look, you're only 21 or whatever. I don't think you should quite get married yet. Maybe you should hold off." But at the end of the day, you got to be supportive,
sure,
and put that aside. You expressed your misgivings, and then you support and love your son. And embrace who he's picked.
Right.
Unless she's like the devil, which I doubt.
Which they might think that she is.
Well, they're probably.
For whatever reason.
I'm sure they're wrong.
I'm going to go with the side that the parents are donks.
Well, there's obviously something there.
For whatever reason, I'm excited.
Well, did Dravy say that there were reports that the dad and son would get in fist fights in junior golf tournament after junior golf tournaments?
Yeah, he said.
I just said that, right?
Yeah,
I thought Dravy said that,
no,
too.
No, I said it.
Didn't you say that during the break?
I may have said that during the break. Yeah, Lurch was talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, but again, I mean,
That's a sickness. That's, if you're getting in fist fights with your dad, sickness, I blame the dad.
But the other side of the family saying that never happened. Now, I can't imagine Patrick's lying about that.
Yeah, why would he lie about that?
Right, that's what I mean. So I believe Patrick when he says it. This is what Patrick's sister said on Facebook. I don't know when this was posted, but she said that Patrick had an amazing life. My parents gave up everything for his dreams of becoming a golfer. How can you win events and not thank your parents? There are reasons you even have the best possible chance of achieving your dream. There was never, ever, ever any abuse mentally or physically, abuse of alcohol or fist fights in the parking lot because he had a bad round. She's saying that that's all BS. The fact that Patrick is allowing his family to say that is insane. And she also went back to say he's a different person. He's a different person now. What was the word she used to describe him? I think she described him as a monster.
No, that's never good.
So, you know, it is what it is. Not everybody gets along with their parents.
Yeah, it sounds like
but
the parents might have been wacky. They gave him plastic golf clubs. He's basically groomed to be a golfer. You know, like a Marv Marinovich thing.
Right.
They said when he was like 9, he was wearing pants at the junior golf tournaments to prepare him for playing in pants on the PGA Tour.
Hmm.
I mean, that's kind of an obsession at an early age that can't be healthy.
Yeah.
It just can't be. You can't have a normal childhood.
Intense golf dad growing up.
That's what it sounds like.
It sounds like they groomed him for golf and everything. Now the parents are bitter that they're not getting a little, you know, peace, I guess.
I think they just want to have a relationship. I don't know if they want a peace.
But again, there's probably, you know, there's so much going on here.
But I will say, I found it hard to root for him. I even would preface this. Like, my son was in the room. He was like eating ice cream, barely paying attention.
Right.
And I said, you know, it's not cool to root against guys, but I'm kind of rooting for him to hit it in a rough here. I'm kind of rooting for him to hit.
I was rooting against him for purely selfish purposes.
Yeah, you were for different.
It wasn't because I didn't like him. It's because I wanted him to plummet down the standings.
I just wanted to see one of the more likable guys win the event.
Right. Jordan Spieth. That's my guy. And Valdez's guy. We love.
Hannah Reed also says this in her Facebook post. She says, This is the sister. She says, he accused me of faking my own two kidney surgeries to get him back in my life. Completely disowned me, never wishing me a happy birthday, congratulations for graduating, etc. I've reached out to him various times, get no response. This is not a brother anymore. He's a selfish, horrible, he's this horrible stranger, not a monster. And it's heartbreaking.
Everything I am, you owe me with my liver and my kidneys.
I mean obviously he's cut off the family. But you would think that the sister, there might still be something there. You know, that's a different, you know, your sister probably endured a lot of the same stuff.
Yeah. He's out.
He's out on the family.
It's all about Justine, his wife, and his two kids.
Yeah.
He's out
fine,
on the family.
But I would just say that Patrick Reed, wherever he's gone, he's out. They didn't love him at Georgia.
Nope.
Out. They didn't love him at Augusta State. They held their nose and tolerated it and won two national championships, but there's no love there.
Yep.
And the family. It's just weird.
And that's kind of transitioned into his pro career. He's not real likable.
Nope. Apparently not.
Although he became an American hero
Everyone
with that Captain America
then.
Shtick.
True.
Yeah. Yeah.
When he was draining those putts.
When you play for your country,
and doing
it's
the,
different.
The Dikembe finger wag.
Right.
And people were loving him.
We'll talk more about the Masters and Patrick Reed's win with Jason Sobel coming up at 9. But don't forget, your chance to win Caps playoff tickets is coming up next here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.